Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Pesachim Daf Lamed Beis. We're holding on Daf Lamed Aleph Lamed Beis at the Mishnah on the bottom of the page. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and it's also sponsored Lizachusar for Shalema for Rabbi Kelmer Shalita Yehuda Ben Rivka Leah by a lifelong Talmud. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we're going to begin a new Mishnah today on the bottom of Lamed Aleph Lamed Beis, and the Mishnah is going to talk about how much a non-Kohen has to pay if he eats chametz that's truma. We already spoke on Daf Chavtes. We had a machlokas if a person eats chametz that's hegdish in terms of violating me'ila, but now we're going to discuss eating chametz that is truma. What do you pay? And it may depend on whether a person eats it b'shogeg or eats it b'mezid. When a person eats truma b'shogeg, it may have one status, b'mezid maybe a different status. Then the Gemara is going to discuss in general, whenever a person eats truma or steals truma, eats truma, does the payment for truma, is it calculated based on the value of what you ate, or is it based on the volume of what you ate? Meaning that we don't have this suffix anywhere else. When you steal something, you pay back the value of what you stole. But specifically, when it comes to eating truma, the Torah says you're supposed to pay back peiros. So what does that mean? Does that mean that you just pay back in the same volume that you ate it? Or no, you have to assess the value of what you ate. So the Gemara is going to try a couple of rayas, and then the Gemara is going to suggest that it's subject to a machlokas tanayim, whether we pay back based on value or based on volume. And then we're going to have a discussion on Lamed Beis about how much truma a non-Kohen has to eat in order to be chayiv to pay Keren and Chomesh, and whether the payments of Keren and Chomesh are ever split from each other. Meaning, is it based on the halacha is that you're only chayiv if you eat a shear. You're only chayiv for Keren and Chomesh if you eat a shear. So how do we measure a shear? So normally a shear achila is a kazayas. Whenever we talk about a shear achila, it's always a kazayas. But maybe over here, since it's about paying back and it's about value, so maybe you have to pay back, maybe it's the shear of achila is a shava pruta, that if you had a shava pruta, then that's what triggers the chiv of Karen and Chomesh. So that, Bez Hashem, is going to be the major discussion on Amud Beis. So let's begin at the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Lamed Aleph and Beis, and the basic introduction over here to this Mishnah is that when a person truma is only supposed to go to a kohen, the zar grows produce, he has to obviously give any amount to a kohen on the daraisa level. It could be any amount, afilu chita achas poteres as kol akri. We recommend he gives about 2%. If he gives a little bit more, that's ayin yafa. If he gives a little bit less, that's ayin ra'a. But if a person eats truma that belongs to the kohen, he's considered to be stealing from the kohen. If he does so b'shogeg, he has to pay not only that which he stole, he has to pay, and not only for the fact that he stole that which belongs to a kohen, he also has to pay in order to achieve kapara, because it's considered to be an avera for a Yisrael to eat truma. So the reason for his payment is not only to reimburse the kohen, but it's also to give him a sense of kapara. And there's a nafkamina la'alacha in that. Since there are a couple of nafkaminas la'alacha, since the purpose is for the sake of kapara, the kohen is unable to be mochel. If it were just about paying back a gzela, Kohen would be able to say, okay, it's fine, don't worry, I have plenty to eat, and he would be able to be mochel. But since it's about kapara, the Kohen would not be able to be mochel. If you eat truma b'mezid, where it's not mishum kapara, it's only mishum gzela, then the Kohen would be allowed to be mochel. So that's one nafkamina la'alacha. Another nafkamina la'alacha is since it's for kapara, the Zar has to pay, even if he hasn't yet given it to a Kohen, meaning he just was mafresh a truma, so it was koreshem truma. This now is called truma, even though he hadn't yet given it to any particular Kohen. And even if he ate his own truma that belongs to him, how could he eat truma that belongs to him? He's not a Kohen. His grandfather was a Kohen, and he yarshened it from his grandfather. His grandfather died, and he was the only Yoresh, so he yarshened that truma. He's not allowed to eat it, though, because he's not a Kohen. If he eats that for that truma, b'shogeg, he still has to pay the Karen v'chomesh, because the purpose of the Karen v'chomesh is not only to pay back that which you stole, but it's also based on kapara. And therefore, you have to, when you pay back, in order to get that kapara, you don't only pay back the keren, you add a chomesh as well. Chomesh over here is assumed to be Chomesh Milvar, so it's what we call in English 25% more, because if you steal $100 and you pay back $125, so the 25 extra dollars are one-fifth of the total of $125, so we call that a Chomesh, even though it's really in English we'd call that a quarter, we call that 25%, but that's what he has to pay back. The makor for the idea that he has to pay back a chomesh as well is from the pasuk v'ishki yochal kodesh b'shkaga v'yasav chamishiso alav v'nasa l'koyin es hakodesh. So even though it says the word kodesh, we assume that kodesh in that context means truma. So if say Chacham writes, it's because the parsha is talking about truma. So that's how we know, even though it says kodesh, it's really about truma. Other mefarshim, however, explain that it's based on the gezeirah shava of kodesh kodesh. That in the vidui ma'isra says biarti kodesh min abay. And the Holy Demise has nothing to do with Kodesh, it has to do with Truma. So we see that sometimes when the Torah uses the term Kodesh, it in fact doesn't mean Kodesh, it means Truma. Okay, so with that backdrop, says the Mishnah, Ha'ochel Trumas Chametz BePesach. If a person eats Trumas Chametz on Pesach, so it's not worth anything, because it's also Ba'achila, it's also Ba'ana, it has zero value. So Bishogeg, if he eats it Bishogeg, so he didn't know that it was Truma, or he didn't know that Truma is Asur for Azar, over here we're not talking about that he was Shogeg about Pesach, meaning he knew that it was bread, and he may have known that it was chametz. He just was unaware of its truma status. So mishalim keren v'chomesh, he has to pay the kohen keren v'chomesh. He does not pay the value. Pays he pays with chulin peiros, like someone who eats truma b'shogeg throughout the rest of the year, even though it didn't have so much value. He didn't steal from kohanim, but the point is that it's for the sake of a kapara. The point over here is that it's not for the sake of paying back the gzela, because if it were that, then it didn't have any value anyway, so you wouldn't have to pay anything back. But b'mezid, if he eats it b'mezid, so he knew that it was truma, and he knew that it was asr to him, so the tashlumin is the tashlumi gzela, like anyone else who eats something that doesn't belong to him, that he's a gazlan, so it's not there for kapara, so patam mitashlumin. He doesn't have to pay the value of the truma, because it's chametz, and it's asr banan, it doesn't have any value, so he didn't cost the kohen anything. And if it's truma tamea, he's part from paying the demeitzim, the value that it was, that it would have been worth as firewood, because it's asr b'ana and it has no value whatsoever. Since it's asr b'ana, when you do it b'shogeg, the point is that you have to achieve kapara, so therefore you do have to pay back. But ironically, when you do it b'mezid, since the whole payment is not about kapara, it's about paying back, so you don't have to pay back, because there was no value of any, you didn't eat anything of value. So now says the Gemara, we have a Mishnah in Maseches Trumos. Hochel Trum B'Shogeg Mishalim Keren V'Chomesh. Person in general eats Truma B'Shogeg, he pays back the value plus an additional 25%. And that's Echad Ochel, whether you eat Truma food, Echad Shosa, whether you drink Truma Mashkin, you have Yayin Shal Truma, and you drink it, Echad Asach, or whether you anoint yourself with Shemen Shal Truma, Echad Truma Tameya, the Echad Truma Tahora, and it applies whether it's Truma Tameya or whether it's Truma Tahora, Mishalim Chomesh, in addition to the Keren, you pay an additional 25%, and only that, the Chumsha de Chumsha, you pay a Chumash on top of the Chumash, meaning if the whatever you pay back as part of that Chumash now is also Truma. So if you eat that Bishogeg, then you're going to have to pay a Chumash on that as well, meaning that additional Chumash takes on the status of Truma, and therefore all the rules of Truma will apply to it. So if you eat that Bishogeg, you pay back as well. Why Sach Shemen Shal Truma? It is about Achilas Truma that you pay a Keren of a Chumash. So what's the Indian of Sach Shemen Shal Truma? So that's the Klal and Halacha, that Sicha Kishtia. This comes up in the Gemara in Maseches Yuma and Daf Ayin Vav about the Isra of Sicha on Yom HaKippurim. The Pasuk says, V'tov B'mayim B'kirbo K'shemen Ba'atzmosav, and the Gemara in Maseches Nida darshans from this Pasuk about Sichas Truma as well, that it's not only about Yom HaKippurim, but Sichas Truma as well. In addition to that, the Gemara Nida has another limud from the Pasuk of Elo Yichalu Eskatche B'nei Yisrael, and that's the drasha that's quoted in the Rambam. So there are a couple of drashas for this idea that Sichas Truma is like Shtiyas Truma. Question is it a drasha gemura or is it only an asmachta? That seems to be a machlokas rishonim. Tosos Maseches Nida says that it's only an asmachta. The whole chiyuv by sicha is only midivrei chachamim. That's what Rosh Yosef understands. Shitas Rashi is as well, because Rashi quotes a pasuk in Tehillim as the makor for it. However, be shitas Rambam, who quotes a pasuk in the Torah, the Marikorkas explains it's a drasha gemura and it's a chiyuv min haTorah. So that's a machlokas rishonim whether it's a din midar. Raisa the tzicha kashtia, or only it didn't mean the rabbanan the tzicha kashtia. But either way, that's the halacha that tzichas kashtia. So you pay a chomesh for that. So the Gemara raises a suffix. How do we measure the payment? Ibayaluhu kishum mishalim lefi mida mishalim or lefi dam mishalim. When you're paying back, azar eats truma b'shogeg. So this is not talking about Pesach now. This is dam. Azar eats truma b'shogeg, and he has to pay back a keren plus a chomesh. So how do we measure what he pays back? Is it based on the volume of what he eat or what he ate, or is it based on the value of what he ate? So now, if the value didn't change at all from the time that he ate it till the time he pays back, so then there's no nafkamina. He's always going to pay back with other payros that are the same as what he ate. But kal hecha demei kara shavi arba zuzi lebesof shavi zuza. Not only that, if when he ate it, it was worth a lot, and then it went down in value by the time he's paying it back, lo tibayilach. That's also not a shayla. Devadik demei kara. Mishalim, then he would for sure have to pay based on what it was at the time that he ate it. Lefi damim, he has to pay based on the value that it was at the time that he ate it. Why would that be so obvious that if it was worth more when he ate it and then it went down in value, for sure has to pay back the value of what he ate to logara migazlan, because he's at the very least he's a gazlan. He can't get away without paying back whatever a gazlan would have to pay back. Yes, in addition to that, he has kapara, but he's also a gazlan, so a gazlan's got to pay back the value. Value of what he took to Tanan, and the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Baba Kama, Kol HaGazlan and Mishalmin Kishasa Gzela, that whenever someone steals something, he has to pay back Kishasa Gzela. So even if you're going to say that for the Tashlumi Kapara, it's good enough to pay back based on the volume, but for being a Gazlan, he's got to pay back based on the value. Kiti Bailach, no, the shayla is in the reverse. What if it was originally worth only one zuz when he ate it, and now it would be, now the market went up, now it's worth arba'a. So now, in order to achieve that kapara, does he need to pay back based on what it's worth now or based on what it's worth then? Lefi mida mishalim damrin alei griva achal griva mishalim. Do we say if he ate one sa'a, so he pays back one sa'a of those peiros? Or maybe it's based on value. He ate a zuz worth of truma, and now he's going to pay back a zuz plus a chomesh, obviously, of truma. So I'm Rav Yosef Tashma. We're going to bring a raya. I'm going to bring a couple of rayas, but first we bring a raya from a brisa that achal grogros, if a person eats dried figs, v'shilim lo tamarim, and he pays back the kohen with dates, which are more chashuv than figs, taval of bracha. So he should be benched. It's such a wonderful thing that he's doing by paying back with higher quality peiros. It happens to be that the Mishnah in Maseches Trumas has machlokas for Blazer Rabbi Akiva if you're allowed to pay back with different peiros than the peiros that you ate. According to Blazer, you can pay whatever is royal Leos Kodesh, even if it's a different min. According to Rabbi Akiva, you're only supposed to pay back from the min of what you ate. So this brisa is clearly going like the sheet of Rabbi Lezer, and that's also clearly how we don't paskin, because we don't paskin like Rabbi Lezer almost ever. Rabbi Lezer Shemutehu, we paskin like Rabbi Akiva. But nevertheless, still in principle, based on the idea, if you assume like Rabbi Lezer that you have the flexibility to pay back with a different pre, so then when you upgrade to from a fig to a date, when you pay back, so tavel of bracha, then that's wonderful. But yam rupisham lufimi. If I understand very well, if you're paying back the volume, so I ate 1 pound of figs and I'm paying back 1 pound of dates, so amtulahachi taval of bracha. I understand why the person deserves a bracha. Da'achul griva de grogros de shav yezuza v'kayav griva de tamarim de shav yarba'a, because he stole what he ate was a sa'a of grogros, which are only worth one zuz, and he's paying back more expensive fruit that's worth four zuz, a tavel of bracha. Eliam l'fidam mishalim. But if he's only going to pay back the value of what he ate anyway, then am I tavel of bracha? Then why is he getting a bracha? He bezuz achol, bezuz kamishalim. He ate this much te'enim that are worth one zuz, so he's paying back this much tamarim that are worth one zuz. So it's going to be, he's paying back the exact value of what he ate anyway. Why is it tavel of bracha? Just because he's paying back with tamarim. So isn't that a raya that when you pay back, you're paying back l'fi the volume and not l'fi the value? So Amar Abaye, no, it's not a raya at all. Yalam l'fi damim mishalim. Really, when you pay back based on the value. So my tavel of bracha, why does this fellow deserve a bracha? Da'achol midi d'lo kafas le'zvini, v'kam mishalim midi d'kafas le'zvini. Because he ate something that is not a very marketable item to sell, and he's paying back something that is much more marketable, something that's much easier to sell. So he's giving something that people are more interested in having, and that's why Tavol Lav Bracha, because it's just a higher quality food, even though in a chinami he's giving back the same value. So now the Gemara says, okay, so that raya didn't work out, let's try to bring a second raya, and this raya is from our Mishnah, and that's why this discussion is here in Maseches Pesachim. Our Mishnah spoke about eating truma that happens to be chametz on Pesach. That's why it's in Maseches Pesachim. This discussion is about eating truma in general. Whenever you eat truma, do you pay back l'fi damim or do you pay back based on the volume? So Tanan, the Mishnah, our Mishnah tells us that if a zar ha'ochel trumas chametz bepesach b'shogeg, a non kohen eats trumas chametz bepesach b'shogeg, mishalim keren v'chomesh. He pays back a keren v'chomesh. Well, iam b'shlama l'fi midah mishalim shapir. If you're paying back based on the volume, I understand very well that you pay back even though what you ate was worthless, but you have to pay back. If I ate a pound, I got to pay back a pound and plus 25%. Iam l'fi dam mishalim. But if you're paying back based on the value, Chametz Pesach bar damu, it's Chametz Pesach. It has no value. So how would that even be possible to pay a keren v'chomesh if it was Chametz b'Pesach and you're paying back based on value? So isn't that a raya that you pay based on volume? So says Mar'id, it could be that it does have value. Hamani, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, damar Chametz Pesach, mutabana. Maybe we're assuming like the sheet of Rabbi Yossi Aglili that Chametz b'Pesach is in fact mutabana. So therefore, it has value. Obviously, if you assume that Chametz Pesach is mutabana, then it our Mishnah wouldn't work unless you say that you have to pay back l'fi the volume. So says Gemara Iachi. But if our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Yosef Lili, who thinks that Chametz Pesach is mutbana, how do you read the Hemshech? Ema Seifa, go and explain the end of the Mishnah where it says b'meizid pater menat hashlumin umidmeyetsin, that if you eat it b'meizid, then you don't have to pay back you don't have to pay anything back, nor the d'meyetsin for even the d'meyetsin of what it would be worth as firewood. So I Rabbi Yosef Lili, I might pater. But if we're assuming like Rabbi Yossi Aglili that it's all mutabana, so why are you patur minat tashlum d'meyetzim? It has value because it could be used as firewood. So why would you be patur from it? From the fact that the seifa patters someone who eats it b'meizim from paying back trumas chametz. You see that the Mishnah is assuming like the shita of the chachamim that chametz b'pesach is asubana and it has no value whatsoever. That's why you're patur when you pay it b'meizid. So when the Reisha says that if you eat it b'shogeg you pay keren v'chomesh, it must be because if you eat it b'shogeg you're supposed to pay back l'fi mida. You're supposed to pay back based on the volume. So we're back to our raya. So it says more. No, really, the title of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Chametz b'pesach is mutarbana. Aye, what about the seifa that if a zar is shum b'meizid he doesn't have to pay back? No, that's Savalok Rabbi Nuchani Ben Akana. Remember, it's Pesach, and this is Chametz. So you're violating something worse than eating Truma. You're violating the Yisra of Achilles Chametz on Pesach. And Rabbi Nuchani Ben Akana holds the Tanya, Rabbi Nuchani Ben Akana haya osa as Yom HaKippurim Keshabbos L'Tashlumin. We know that a person violates Achiv Misa Bidei Achiv Misa's Bezdin at the same time that he's Chayiv Tashlumin Mamon. So we apply the principle of Kam Lei B'Drabba Minei. We only give him the more severe of the two punishments, so he only gets the Chiv Misa. So Rabbi Nuchani Ben Akana extended that to Chiv Kares as well, that even though Kares is not administered down here in Beis Din, but if a person is Chayiv Kares and Chayiv Mamon simultaneously, he's only going to be punished for the Kares. So why is it that if you're Ochel Trumas Chametz B'mezid, you don't have to pay anything because you Chayiv Kares and Kam Le B'drav Minei? So really the halacha may be that we're assuming like Rabbi Yosef Lili. It has absolutely no value, and nevertheless, even though, I'm sorry, that it does have value because it's mutar ba'ana, and nevertheless, you don't have to pay back that value because you're anyway going to be chayiv for the kares for eating chametz b'pesach. So neither raya worked out. So the Gemara now suggests that maybe it is a machlokas. It's a machlokas tanaim. Maybe this issue is subject to machlokas tanaim. So kitanai, maybe this idea of whether you pay lefi damim or lefi mida is a machlokas in the Tosefta. Ha'ochel shumas chametz b'pesach. A person eats shumas chametz on Pesach, whether he eats it shogir or mezid. Patamin atashlum le'meitim de Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva says you're patu totally. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri mechayiv, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says no, you got to pay back the keren chametz. So Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Rabbi Kiva challenges Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. V'chima hanoi yesh laba. What sort of hana can the kohen get from shumas chametz b'pesach? The zar didn't cost the kohen anything. It's aser b'hana. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Rabbi Kiva, mina yesh lachol shuma tameya b'sharkali mosa shana shem shalim. What hana does the kohen ever get from shuma tameya? And yet, if a zar eats shuma tameya, he's got to pay back a keren chomesh, even though kohen is not allowed to eat it either. So it's also got no value. So from the fact that you pay for it, we see that the tashlumin is lefi hamida. So therefore, even if it has no value whatsoever, you still got to pay back lefi hamida based on the volume. So below, Rabbi Kiva said to Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, lo, don't bring a raya from the Truma Tumeya the rest of the year. Matter of Truma Tumeya B'Shari Mas Shana Shalt B'Shein Lo Ba'Hetra Achila Yeshul Ba'Hetra Asaka. Truma Tumeya does have value to the Kohen the rest of the year. He can use it as firewood. He's not allowed to eat it, but he can use it as firewood. So if a Zar eats it, he's going to have to pay back because he did cost him something of some value. Tomer B'Zeba, you're going to talk about eating Truma Chametz Pesach Shein Lo Ba'Lo Hetra Achila V'Lo Hetra Asaka. You're going to talk about eating Truma Chametz Pesach which has no value whatsoever. Halamaz Adome the Truma Tutim Ba'Na. You know what it's like? It's like eating truma tameya that is not viable as use for firewood. It's you're eating strawberries. You can't use strawberries as firewood. So you're eating something that's not viable for firewood. So you would not have to pay the kohen anything back. So according to Rabbi Akiva, the payment for eating truma b'shogeg is lefi damim, and therefore you don't pay if you didn't cost the kohen anything. So if the Tzar eats truma that has no value, like trumas chametz b'pesach, or trumas tutim v'anavim that are tamei, you don't have to pay anything back, because you didn't cost them anything. But according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, the payment for eating truma b'shogeg apparently is not based on value, it's based on volume. And therefore, if you eat trumas chametz b'pesach, and you eat trumas tutim v'anavim that became tamei, you're mishalim for eating it. You do have to pay, even though it had no value whatsoever. So it turns out that this very suffix of the Gemara, is it volume or is it value, is exactly this machlokas. The Braisa then goes on to say, "Bamed varmamurim." When do we assume that there's such a mitzvah of trumas chametz on Pesach, where we discuss whether you're chayiv to pay or not? That's b'mafresh truma v'chmitza. That's if you're mafresh truma from your tevel on Pesach before it was chametz, and then it became chametz, or you mafresh truma from chametz before Pesach, and then it became Pesach. Meaning, at the time of the hafrasha, there was nothing wrong with the food, and it only got the isser of chametz later on, either because it became Pesach or because it became chametz. Avol mafresh shumas chametz. But if you're mafresh shumas chametz on Pesach, you had already bread. You were not mafresh it when it was wheat or whatever. So divrei hakol eino kedusha. Then everyone would say that kedusha shuma cannot be chal on it. And even according to Rabbi Yosef Glil, chametz Pesach is mutar b'ana. You can't have kedusha shuma be chal on chametz Pesach. So that is brisa number one. So that brisa very clearly seems to say that there is this machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, whether you pay lefi the volume or lefi the value. Tanya Idach, we have another brisa that sheds a little more light on this discussion. The brisa tells us v'nasan l'kohen es hakodesh. So it sounds that you have to pay back the kohen that which was kodesh, meaning davar aroy lios kodesh. That not only that, it doesn't mean you're paying back something that is kodesh. You're paying back something that's ra'oy to have kedusha. Prat lo ochel trumas chametz b'pesach, as opposed to if you eat trumas chametz b'pesach on b'shogeg on Pesach, if you pay back on Pesach, it can't have kedushas truma. It's not eligible for kedushas truma because we just said that truma can't be chal on chametz, so you can't pay back on Pesach with trumas chametz. Shapat not truma ve'etzim de Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, Rebbe Elazar chasma mechayiv. So Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov says that you pater from tashlumin and de me'etzim, whereas Rebbe Elazar chasma is mechayiv chayv someone reads Shumas Chamis Pesach b'shogeg to pay Karen v'chamish. So Amar lo Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov the Rabbi Elazar Chasma. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov challenges Rabbi Elazar Chasma. Why is it that you say that if you eat Shumas Chamis b'Pesach that you have to pay back v'chima hano'i yesh laba? What could the coin have ever used it for? Even if you don't know the drasha that I'm going to suggest to pater him, but you haven't cost him anything. It's asr ba'anah for the coin. So Amar lo Rabbi Elazar Chasma. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Same argument. Well, what about the rest of the year when you eat Truma Tumea? You got to pay that back, and the Kohen's not allowed to get any enough from that. So, what are you talking about? The whole rest of the year, if you have Truma Tumea, it could be the Kohen's not allowed to eat it, but he's allowed to be Nana from it. He could use it as firewood. You're bringing me a raya from Trumas Chameit. On Pesach, where you can't use it for anything because it's chametz, it's asvana. So Amalot, Rabbi Elazar Chasma says back to Rabbi Yaakov, Af bazu yesh lo ba heterasaka, that even Trumas Chametz and Pesach can also have a heterasaka. Shem ratza kohen meritza lefnei kalbo o masika tachas tafshilo. If the kohen wants, he's allowed to get anah from it. He could give it to his dog to eat, or he could put it under his pot that's cooking. Because Chametz Pesach is mutar banah, meaning that's just a long way of saying that I hold like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that Chametz Pesach is mutar banah. It's just a little more descriptive of the kinds of anah that you're going to get from it. But that's all it's saying, is that it's mutar banah. So Amar Abaye, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, v'Rabbi Akiva, v'Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, kulo svirlu chametz pesach asbana. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in the second brisa, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri in the first brisa all hold that chametz pesach is asbana and therefore it has no value, and that's why Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Rabbi Akiva hold that if a zar eats shumas chametz pesach he doesn't pay at all, and even Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says he does have to pay, also holds that it's asbana because he just holds the bahapligid. Rabbi Akiva says, Rabbi Kiva holds you pay based on its value. It's got no value, so you don't pay. And Rabbi Yochanan Nuri says, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri says you pay based on the volume. May not have value, but it's got volume, so you have to pay based on that. And Rabbi Elazar Chasma just disagrees with the entire premise. He holds that it's taka mutar b'hana'a, and since it's mutar b'hana'a, that's why you have to pay back, even if you assume lefi the volume. So pshita. So isn't it pashut that that's the shitos of all those three tanaim? So says Mar, no. Ma'u detemer Rabbi Yochanan Nuri nami Rabbi Akiva svirle damer lefi dam mishalim. I might have thought that Rabbi Yochanan Nuri also holds you pay back based on value. Vasa ma'ina time to come achayim mishum savlak Rabbi Yosef. And maybe the reason he holds that you're chayiv to pay back is because he holds that chametz and pesach does have value. So come ashmulam. That's why he's telling me that no, in the first brisa, everyone agrees chametz pesach is asr b'ana. The whole machlokas is, do you pay back based on value or do you pay back based on volume? So that first brisa is in fact the machlokas tanaim about the very issue that we are debating. Ve'ema hachinami, but how do you know? Maybe the first brisa, they're not arguing about whether it's value or volume. They're arguing whether chametz pesach is mutar b'ana or asr b'ana. No, because im kein nahadle Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Rabbi Akiva, because if that were the case, that that's what they were arguing about, whether chametz pesach is mutar asr b'ana, so Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Yochanan Nuri should say to Rabbi Akiva when he said v'chima hanoa yesh laba kiechen madalei Rabbi Elazar Chasma Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he should have responded the same way Rabbi Elazar Chasma responded. Rabbi Elazar Chasma holds that chametz is mutar ba'ana, so he should have responded to the same that af bazu yesh laba heter asaka shem ratzah kohen meritza lefnei kalbo masika tachas tafshilo. He should have said something like that he can give it to his dog, he can put it under his pot that's cooking. From the fact that he did not respond to him that way, it sounds like he holds that the Kohen is not allowed to do those things, and nevertheless, you still have to pay back because you measure the payment based on the mida and not based on the damim, based on the volume and not based on the value. So that's the end of that sugya as far as when you pay back. Do you pay back lefi mida or do you pay back lefi damim? There's an interesting raya that they bring from our sugya in a safek that Minchas Chinuch brings up in mitzvah test. Minchas Chinuch brings up a safek when it comes to the mitzvah of destroying chametz. Is it that the chametz has to be destroyed or that you have to actively destroy the chametz? Is the mitzvah of tashpisu an active mitzvah? Let's say I just make sure that I, some people, weeks in advance of Pesach, they're already not buying any new chametz. They're just finishing up shalach manos. So they're eating all those disgusting, wafers or whatever it is that, they're just finishing up whatever chametz. And then comes Erev Pesach, there's nothing left. There's no chametz left. Did they fulfill the mitzvah of Tashmisu? So that's a suffix of the Minchas Chinuch. So Rav Sturmbach discusses, and let's assume like the tzad of the suffix that you actually have, you have to actually physically destroy the chametz. So if that's the case, how directly physically do you have to destroy the chametz? I mean, what happens very often is they make some sort of fire outside of the shul or the fire station. They do something in a responsible way communally, and then you in Riverdale it's both because the fire station and the shul are right next door to each other. So that's where I burn my chametz every year because that's where we sell the chametz to Rabbi Willig. So I always burn it in Riverdale. So they have a fire going. So what do you do? A lot of times people will throw all their chametz in, and then the nachri will come and light the thing on fire, or they'll have someone who knows fire. So I'm not destroying the chametz. I'm just throwing it into a garbage bin, and then someone else is coming destroying the chametz. Is that enough of mitzvah teshvis? So that's not even. Rav Sturmbach discusses even less than that. He says I throw it in the fire, and then someone every once in a while comes and mixes it and moves it around to make sure it gets really burnt. So that's the person that's actively burning my chametz. So that's Rav Sturmbach isn't sure about. But he's noted to say that la halacha anyway, like the other side of Minchas Chinuch, meaning la halacha anyway, we would say that that the mitzvah of Tashmisu is that you shouldn't have any chametz. So you don't actually have to actively go and burn the chametz. Another right. So one of the rayas that they have is from Arasugya. So Trumas Chametz Pesach, according to Rabbi Yosef Chasma, who also like Rabbi Yosef agreed that Chametz Pesach is Mutbana. So what do you do with it? Meritza Lefnei Kalbo. When you're Meritza Lefnei Kalbo, you're not doing a mitzvah biyadayim. You're putting it in front of the Kelev, and the Kelev is going to be the one that destroys it. So that's only a Grama Bialma. So you see that even when you're a Gram Tashbisu, is also called Tashbisu. I mean, you have to destroy the Chametz. You're allowed to get Hana'a in the process of destroying it, but you have to destroy the Chametz. And over here, you're not doing anything. You're just putting it there, and the dog is eating it. So that's a Raya that a Gram Tashbisu is going to work. In the Sefer Cheker Halacha, he has a suffix by the Mitzvah's Bir Chametz, if you have to be Mekayim it, Biyad Yamin. That in general, it's a funny suffix. I mean, in general, when we do mitzvahs, you always try to do it with the right hand. That called Pinushat Panu Le Yuel Derech Yamin. So a righty does things with his right hand. That's why when Chassan Kala get married, so we tell the Kala to stick out her right hand to be Mekabel during, unless she's a lefty, then we tell her to stick out her left hand. So some of these halachas relate to, would change based on being a righty or a lefty, others not. But the point is that you should do things biyad yamin. So the Cheker Halacha says when you burn your chametz, you should be careful to dafka throw the chametz into the fire biyad yamin, and you do it biyad smol. So he's obviously assuming the other side of the Chakir in the Minchas Chinuch, that when you do Tashbisu, it actually requires a mitzvah of Tashbisu. Otherwise, there's nothing to discuss. You don't have to do it biyad, you don't have to do it with any of your hands. You could have a nakri, send a nakri shaliach to do it. That's a discussion in the poskim, whether Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger seems to assume that way, because Rabbi Kiva Eger says that you're not allowed to send a nachri to burn your chametz because ain't shliach u'nachri, that a guy doesn't have, there's no din of shlichus. That you need shlichus. Who says you need shlichus over here? You just need to make sure the chametz doesn't exist anymore. Elamai, Rabbi Kiva Eger assumes like that side of the Minchas Chinuch, that it requires a maisa of tashbisu, that you need to actually do something to physically destroy the chametz, and therefore ain't shlichus u'nachri. You're not able you're not in fulfillment physically destroying the chametz by sending a nachri to do it. Okay, now we're going to discuss the shear of achilas truma b'shogeg to be chayiv keren v'chomesh, meaning how much truma do I have to eat to generate that chiyuv of keren v'chomesh. So in general, in kala taru kula, whenever there's nisra achila is always defined by kazayis shear chatzitza mechitza malach al moshe m'sinai. We have alach al moshe m'sinai that the shear of achila is the size of a zayis. Truma might be different though, and we'll see why. Tanu rabbanan, if a zar is ha'ochel kazayis truma, non-kohen eats a kazayis truma b'shogeg, mishalim keren v'chomesh. So you say kazayis. A b'shal omer, ad sheyebo, shav a pruta. No, not a kazayis. If you eat a pruta's worth of truma, that's what generates the chiyuv tashlumin of keren v'chomesh. Not a kazayis. So my time at Tanakama, why does Tanakama think that the shear is a kazayis? Amar kra, because the pasuk says, v'ish ki yochal kodesh b'shkaga, v'achil b'kazayis. It says, v'ish ki yochal kodesh b'shkaga, kodesh in that context means truma, and that's where the pasuk continues, v'yasav chamishi soa lov v'nasan l'koin es ha-kodesh, that you have to be mosav chamesh and give that to the kohen. So you see that he uses the lashon of achila, so achila is always a kazayis. But v'abashol, my taima, what's the basis for abashol saying that it's got to be shavapruta and that it's not a kazayis? Amar kra, because the pasuk says, v'nasan, it says, v'nasan l'koynes hakodesh vein nesina paks misham pruta. The word nesina always implies a shavapruta. That it's, so Tosfos points out, really? Always? The word nesina, every time it's used in the Torah, means a shavapruta? It doesn't seem that way. There are many other examples where nesina is not a shavapruta, which for example, truma itself, it says that you're v'nasal in the kohen, but we know chita achas is poteres kalakri, that a chita achas is good enough for truma. You don't need to actually give a shavapruta. So not every time it says nesina in the Torah doesn't mean a shavapruta. It's dafka over here, the lashon nesina on the tashlumin for having eaten truma when you're not a kohen, that's where we're going to assume that it means that it's got to be a shavapruta according to Abba Shaul. V'idach nami haksiv yochal. What does Abba Shaul do with the word yochal? That implies that it's a kazayis. Ho prat l'mazuk hudasa. No, the word yochal that the Torah is using is not to tell me how much you have to eat in order to be chayiv. It's coming to tell me that you're chayiv only if you ate if you ate the truma as opposed to being mazik the truma. I mean, if I went and I just destroyed the truma, then I don't have this din of karen v'chomish. The way I have to have destroyed it is through ingesting it. So since I've eaten it, so that. But how much? That's not based on the word yochal. How much is based on its value? V'tanakama oksiv v'nasan. What does the Tanakama do with the word v'nasan? After all, doesn't v'nasan imply a shavapruta? Humi bayalei l'davar roi lios kodesh. He uses v'nasan to tell me that you're only chayiv on something that's roi lios kodesh, as opposed to, like we said, truma's chametz on Pesach is not roi lios kodesh. Chametz on Pesach is not roi to be truma. If a person eats truma that's less than a kazayis, he only pays the keren, he does not pay the chomesh. If it's less than a shavapruta, then he shouldn't pay keren either. And if it is worth a shavapruta, he should have to pay the chomesh as well. Meaning, it shouldn't be dependent on kazayis, it should be dependent on pruta. So, or at least that's what, if you hold that it's dependent on pruta, so then how are you going to explain this brisa? So the olam dis b'shavapruta. No, we're talking about that it's worth a shavapruta. And still, if it's not also a kazayis, you would not have to pay the chomesh, because the lashon achila tells me that it's got to be a kazayis. So amru rabban kamed Rav Papa, they said this in front of Rav Papa, hada lo kabashal, that this mishnah is against abashal. Di kabashal amr kivin sheish b'shavapruta avgav less be kazayis. This mishnah apparently makes a big deal about a kazayis. Abishol thinks kazayis doesn't matter at all. That all that matters is that it's worth a pruta. So I'm the Rav Papa, no, feel tame Abishol. Abishol tartibai. You think Abishol is not concerned about a kazayis at all? No, Abishol thinks that in addition to having to have eaten a kazayis in order to be chayv karen v'chomish, you also have to have eaten a shavapruta's worth. That one without the other is not enough. He's not saying that only a shavapruta matters. He's saying that both matter, that you need to have both. So says Mar, really? Does Abishol really say that you need to have had both a kazayis and a shavapruta's worth? But the Mishnah tells us that Abishol omer hashiyesh b'shavapruta chayiv b'tashlumin v'shein b'shavapruta einu chayiv b'tashlumin, that only if something is worth a shavapruta do you have to pay karen v'chomesh. But if the truma that you ate is not worth a shavapruta, you don't pay karen v'chomesh. So Malon Chum said to Abishol, lo amru shavapruta elin mila b'lvad, that shavapruta is only when it comes to the isra mi'ila of eating hegdish, where the word achila is not used in the Torah. Aval truma einu chayiv v'shein b'kazayis, but by truma where the word achila is used, the shear is a kazayis. It's not about shavapruta. But v'im isa, but if Rav Papa is correct, that Abba Shaul is going to say that you do need a kazayis and you need a pruta, so then kivan sheyesh bo kazayis mi bayulei, they should have said that it would be enough since it has a kazayis and you don't also need a shavapruta. That would be the way to address Abba Shaul. So tiyufta, so you see that Rav Papa was incorrect, that Abba Shaul is not saying that you need both a shavapruta and a kazayis, that according to Abba Shaul, you don't need a kazayis at all. The whole issue is about shavapruta. And a zar who eats pachas mikazayis, not mishalim chomesh, is when the braisa said that a zar who eats pachas mikazayis is not mishalim chomesh, that's against Abba Shaul. Abba Shaul would say, I don't care if it's a kazayis or not. All I care about is whether it's worth a pruta. V'af Rav Papa hadabe. And even Rav Papa ultimately changed his mind about this, and he understood that Abba Shaul really did not require both. Titania, because the braisa tells us, v'chata b'shkaga prat l'mezid, that a person who does me'ila b'mezid, raise it is not doesn't bring a carbon. Umashar mitzvos, just like all other mitzvos, lo saseh, like eating chaylev and eating dam. Shechayev ben kares, poter ben asamezid, where you chayev kares, someone who does it b'mezid is potter from a carbon, that even if you did it b'shogeg, he doesn't have to bring a carbon. So mi'ila, she'in b'kares, eno din shepotter asamezid. So mi'ila, where there's no chiyev kares, it's only misa b'dei shamayim, for sure if someone does it b'mezid, he should be potter from a carbon. Even if he did it b'shogeg, he'd have to bring a carbon. If you do it b'mezid, you shouldn't have to bring a carbon. So why does the Torah say b'chata b'shkaga to tell me to be memayit a moel b'mezid from bringing a carbon? I could learn it from a kal v'chomer. So we could say no, it's not a good kal v'chomer because lo memarta b'shar mitzvos shekein lo chiyev ben misa tamar b'meila shchiyev ben misa, because shar mitzvos you don't have misa b'dei shemayim, you only have kares. By meila there's misa b'dei shemayim, so it could be that that's more chamor than kares. So maybe that's why you're chayev to bring you should be chayev to bring a carbon even if you do it b'mezid. That's why tamalomar bishkaga prat l'mezid. That's why it says bishkaga to tell me prat l'mezid, to exclude someone who does it b'mezid. So the Gemara the Gemara is now about to discuss what's more chamor. Meaning, there's an assumption over here that misa b'dei shemayim might be more chamor than kares, but we just assumed in the kal v'chomer before that kares is more chamor than misa b'dei shemayim. It's a little bit of a longer discussion, so we're not going to get into it right now. But maybe we'll just close with a very brief point that the Rambam writes that anytime you have pax mishav pruta, it doesn't have a din of mammon, and Beis Din is not going to be niskakim lo. Beis Din is not going to make you pay back that which is pax mishav pruta. So there is a discussion. Tosos over here says that the word nesina never means, the Gemara says the word nesina is never pax mishav pruta. So as I pointed out before, that Tosos gives a whole bunch of examples where the word nesina does apply to pax mishav pruta. When you write a get, it's v'kasav v'nasana, and you give her a sefer krisos, a get written on Isurayana is a valid get, even though it's pachos mishavapruta. Tosus gives many other examples. So this is a diun in the Achronim. If a person is mekayim the mitzvah of tzedakah, if you give less than a shavapruta, because the mitzvah is nesina of tzedakah. So do we assume like the pashtus of the Gemara over here that ain't nesina bepachos mishavapruta, or do we assume like all the examples that Tosus says that there is nesina bepachos mishavapruta in many other contexts? So that's a question in halacha, whether a person is mekayim the mitzvah of tzedakah at all when he gives pachos Mishav Pruta. But Beis Hashem, we're really right in the middle of a conversation, and we'll pick up that conversation, Misa B'dei Shemayim versus Kares, Bezras Hashem, tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone.